We had no idea what we were doing when we elected to study Embracing the Uncertain, which is a study in our church today in this season of Lent as we look forward to looking at the uncertainties of our own life. The text from Luke chapter 19 occurs in our book. It goes like this. When Jesus entered Jericho, he was passing through it. A man there named Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him. Because he was going to pass that way, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for I must stay at your house today." And so he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. And all who saw it began to grumble and say, "He's gone to be the guest of one who is such a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half my possessions I shall give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." We believe this is the word of God given to you, the people and children of God. There's a parade of attention by the around the celebrity of Jesus as he passes through the town of Jericho. He comes now from Galilee to Jerusalem for the very last time in his life before he heads into the triumphal entry and eventually his own crucifixion. Jericho itself is spoken of by the historian Josephus as the fairest city in Palestine. Travelers on the King's Highway would pass through Jericho, going north into Asia Minor and eventually Europe. It became a way stop or an oasis. It was a setting of the elite. It was it. Everything else was a runner-up in the days of Jesus. Think of it like Fifth Avenue, New York, or the Champs-Élysées in Paris, or maybe Carrollwood Drive in Beverly Hills, and you get a picture of what Jericho must have been like. The eyes of the crowd were riveted in the desire to get a glimpse of a great miracle worker and a great prophet who had come from God. Luke weaves the story of not only a tax collector named Zacchaeus, who was rich, but a chief collector who was exceedingly loaded. He had, in the words of Josephus, the most lucrative job in all the Roman Empire. He was the man in an Armani robe with Louis Vuitton cuffs and Valentino sandals. So Luke begins his story weaving the irony and paradox of a double meaning of language. He shares that Zacchaeus was short of stature, not only petite in size and unable to see above the crowd, but he was little or diminutive in his integrity. In the real stature of what a human being should be, Zacchaeus was short. He came up short in honesty, in honor, in loyalty, but especially in love. He was hated among his own people and the people of Jericho. One day at a time, he was able to rationalize or lessen his responsibility to be human. It's strange how it happens to us. The road to hell and lostness is a gradual and gentle slope, soft underfoot. It happens when we hardly notice it. We cut a little corner or we lose a line of nobility and we become false and empty with sometimes not even knowing it. For Zacchaeus, he would tell a little white lie and soon become colored blind. I like to say he would have liked to have listened to his conscience, but he didn't like to take advice from strangers. For Zacchaeus, necessary evil looked more and more necessary and less evil as time went on. He became small, meaning this. He had lost his created power to love in the way that he was designed to do it. He was fashioned to give himself, to be love and blessing to the world. And now Zacchaeus was coming up short. Secondly, now Luke goes into a movement of another double meaning. He says that he couldn't see Jesus because of the people in front of him. Well, maybe you've had this experience, to be in a church or around people who claim faith that get in the way of Jesus. Rotten theology, pastors or leaders who are greedy or off of focus, uncaring hypocrites at work who talk spiritually minded yet live in duplicity. It's a wonder that the local church doesn't chase away sometimes with our half-heartedness, our dead worship, our lack of love and pettiness. The church was always supposed to have been a hospital for the broken, not a club for saints. I believe in every church there's enough light to believe and enough darkness for those who are looking for an excuse to stay away. And for Zacchaeus, he figured out an ingenious way to see Jesus while being unseen by the crowd. He scampers up into a sycamore tree. He climbs. Again, maybe another double meaning of Luke. He was good at climbing. He did. He elevated himself. He was competitive with others. He looked for ways to win and crush his opponents. He could hide up there from his own self and his own humanity and not look at himself, but take a peek at what God might be like in the flesh. The higher he went, the more he looked down on everything. He was so clever as a climber, and yet lost himself that the higher he went, the more people could see who he really was, and the less he could see of himself. I remember one time when I was about to receive a promotion, my dad reminded me that the baboon in the zoo that climbs highest in the tree is the one where you can see the undercarriage most clearly. It's sort of a paradox or a picture of Zacchaeus climbing over others and yet losing so much of himself he couldn't see who he was. So now in this beautiful story told by Luke, the crowd reaches the place underneath where Zacchaeus has hidden in his perch, and Jesus looks up. Jesus looks up. Interesting that Zacchaeus was trying to get a peek at God, but now this divine meeting occurs when God looks with a gaze and sees deeply into the heart and life of Zacchaeus. It was a setup all along. As Zacchaeus tries to sneak a peek, he realizes now he is a mouse in search of a cat. It was Jesus all along who pursues, tracks, ensnares, enchants, magnetizes, hunts, detects, lures, and woos us. Is it not? Jesus is looking up as God. Zacchaeus, looking down on God, is frozen. It's the last thing he ever wanted, was to be noticed like this, to have someone see into his uttermost parts. The most beautiful symphony, maybe, that the world will ever hear is someone who whispers or says their name in love. And the first words from the mouth of Jesus is not judgment, anger, wrath, or condemnation. He speaks the name of Zacchaeus. Now Zacchaeus sees into the very eyes of knowing, rescuing, and redeeming love. A startling portrait of hospitality ensues, painted by brush strokes of scandalous grace. Christ has invited this broken man to come down, and to be with him. Can you imagine being God, having to lower yourself beneath broken humanity to simply invite us down to be with him? It's a rerouted decision that God comes to put himself underneath us. The crowd murmurs that Jesus extends himself to human trash. Doesn't he know this guy's a mobster, they say? And all of Jericho grumbles that Jesus wouldn't have better sense than to invite himself to the house of a person that nobody would touch with a 10-foot pole. And yet God is always good at this. He sees the finished painting when we see the beginning of the empty canvas. He sees a butterfly that flies when we yet still see cocoons. Zacchaeus comes down with great speed and haste. Matters dealing with Jesus always should be done this way. And Jesus embraces a position of great vulnerability before Zacchaeus. As he looks up at him from underneath, he relinquishes the high and privileged ground as an expression of inverted hospitality that the parading crowd has no agency to comprehend. The gospel of loving inclusion will always be met with such oppositional grumbling. And so it is said that Zacchaeus invites Jesus, or Jesus invites himself into his home. Imagine what it would have been like for Zacchaeus or you to welcome Christ into your party room, your dining room of appetites, your living room of relationships, your reading room, your hobby room, your bedroom, and maybe even most vulnerably, the closets that are a mess. Zacchaeus goes then beyond what's right and into a response of grace. He simply says, "Whatever I've done, I'll undo it." Moved with courage, he wants to be right with God and others now. Zacchaeus has a second chance at life. Mercy has come. One could say, if you dared to, that it was like Zacchaeus had been born all over again. This day, not an idea, but transformation. Not resuscitation, but resurrection. Not the same old Zacchaeus turning over a new leaf, but a brand new sprout comes from the life of Zacchaeus. Really quickly, three practical things to close. In the first place, I want to say Zacchaeus was little. So am I. So are you. Less than what we should be. There's Aaron whooping it up with a golden calf the moment his brother's back is turned. Think of the saints from Scripture. Jacob conning everyone, including his father and his brother. Rahab, the prostitute, Samson, with his hormones out of control. Paul holding lynch mobs as he holds coats while the first martyr, Stephen, is stoned to death. The list goes on and on and on. Like Zacchaeus, they're all a mess. We are all a mess. We're all small. Secondly, he was up a tree. So are we, whether we know it or not. With a virus that turns the world upside down, with us beckoning security at every turn, grabbing up toilet paper and cans of soup, we're caught in a situation we can't control or manage or predict. And I would say, like Zacchaeus, we're in a place of helplessness and disappointment and anxiety. We have lost much, and we will lose more: experiences, money, time in the way that we thought we would spend it. We're up a tree, and it feels awkward and uncomfortable, wondering if we're noticed or if God cares. Third and finally, he welcomes people like us. Come down. Make haste. Make a connection. Be honest. Simply tell God your anxiety and put them in buckets and in ways that our help can ask for the strength and guidance and new beginnings that we need too. This is a God who, when we throw off everything and embrace the uncertain and surrender our lives, can make miracle of it. Come this day and surrender. Throw off everything that hinders, everything that's held you back, There is a God that is faithful, true, worthy, and who loves broken people caught up in trees. Look up, look down, look around you, and realize today is a day of surrender and release and brand new beginnings. Pray with me. Oh God, there is no place on earth where your gaze and grace won't reach. Into hard predicaments and viruses and uncontrollable circumstances, still there you are, the rightful owner and lover of our souls. We give you now all as we surrender our lives. In Christ, amen. Maybe in light of all that's going on, you feel like you're stuck up a tree and not yourself. Go this day in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and know that you are loved beyond what you hope to be and live. Amen. Thanks for being here.